They were always flat buildings, flat roof buildings, and put a banister around that for protection. Well, we look at that from a spiritual standpoint, and it speaks to us of a young family starting out to build a home, and we assume they're going to build their house. And the house that is being built is a spiritual house, not, as we interpret, not a physical house, but a spiritual house, and it becomes the parent's responsibility to build banisters around that house so that their children will not fall from thence, spiritually speaking, so that their children will grow up to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and will follow Him in their life. Now, we are continuing that message this morning. Only our emphasis today will be upon mothers and upon their responsibility for these battlements. You see, the battlements that must be built are not just built by the father, they are built by the mother, and to a large extent, as we're going to see, by the mother. So if you'll turn in Proverbs chapter 6, I want to read 3 or 4 verses there, and then we're going to let the New Testament scriptures paint us a picture of the godly mother, the woman that every saved man desires to have as the mother of his children. I encourage young men not to look for a wife on the basis of her beauty or how many other men are interested in her or her talent or things of that nature, but what kind of mother will she make? That's the most important thing when you're looking for a wife. What kind of a mother will she make for your children? Now that's getting down to where we need to think in regard to this. Now let's read this. And this, there's a principle laid out here that is true throughout the scripture, and we want to establish that. My son, we're in verse 20 now, Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, notice this now, and let's look at this for just a few minutes here. This is the father speaking to his son. Now, in the Proverbs, that's the way it's addressed. And through the first 7 chapters, you could continually be given this address to the son. But it applies as well to the daughter, maybe in some different sense in some cases, but basically the same thing to the daughter as would be to the son. So we're talking here about the home and the teaching and instruction that the children should get. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, here's the principle. The father lays down the commandment. This is the commandment that he gets from God. And the mother has the responsibility of taking the father's commandment and breaking it down, we'll say, to bite size to feed the children. Now that's basically what this is. The mother's doing the teaching. This is particularly with the younger children, but the mother's doing the teaching of what the father has laid out. Now that's the plan. Now notice, this word law, by the way, that in the King James is the word teaching. That's the proper interpretation of that word, is teaching. The commandment the father gets from God. Now, I want to read you this in the Amplified. You just listen or follow through in your King James or whatever you have there. It's a decent Bible. There's some bad ones. But I'm going to read the Amplified. The Amplified is not a translation. It's an amplification. It's a kind of magnifying the words in Scripture, and it doesn't claim to be a translation. So let me read these three verses from the Amplified. My son, keep your father's God-given commandment and forsake not the God of your mother, or the law, what your mother's God, you see, has taught you, the mother has taught you of what the father gives. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, they, the words of your parents' God, shall lead you. When you sleep, they shall keep you. When you awaken, they shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the whole teaching of the law is light, and reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Now, the father, as the head, again, as the head of the home, sets up the word of God as the practice of the family. Now, understand this, folks. There is a head to the family that God deals with directly. He deals with the head, and he deals directly with the father concerning the home. And so the father, now let me say this here, I better interject it right here because I always get this kind of response at this. And some mother or some wife will say, yes, but I don't have a husband. Or yes, but my husband's not like that. Yes, but my husband's not saved. Now note, the Bible does not deal with all of the possibilities of life. It deals with the way life should be. Understand, let's get that straight. Now, all I can preach to you is the way it should be. And I can take that and maybe talk with you about your problem, the thing, and help you. But I can only preach to you the way it should be, not the way you wish it was, or not the way your home is. Because, you see, into every home there come all kinds of different things that shape it, change it. Before people are saved, they make all kind of bad decisions, or even after they save, sometimes they make bad decisions. And so God doesn't lay out an answer for all those bad decisions. He gives you the right way it should be. And you know, you ever see in these films, you know, you can't really do this spiritually, but you see a film go forward and then they'll back it up. Well, that's what would be good, wouldn't it, if we could all, you know, we've in our position today. But if we could back up, somebody said to me recently, boy, I wish I'd have known what you're preaching 18 years ago. Well, you can't back up 18 years. You have to start where you are right now. See, you just have to start where you are right now and do the best you can and trust the Lord for your help and take it from there. Now, that's important for us to understand, because what I'm preaching to you is the way you would plot it and lay it out on a board or a pattern. This is the pattern. This is the way it ought to be. The father lays down the law. He's the one that knows the word of God, supposed to study and know the word of God. And he said, this is the way my family is going to be run. Now, of course, he does it in agreement with his wife. I'm not saying that. But he's the one God holds responsible. He says, this is the way my family is going to operate. All right? Now, the wife says, all right, father, husband, I will take that word that you've given me. Here it is. See, here it is right here, the Bible. So I'll take that word that you've given me, and I'll break it down into lessons and teach the children. All right? Now, this is the way it goes. That doesn't mean that the father never teaches the children, or it doesn't mean that the mother always teaches the children, because both of them, these are the basic roles if the home's going to function right. You understand that? If the home is going to function right, these are the basic roles that have to be carried out. Now, what I'm going to be speaking to you about and saying to you this morning is going to be contrary to what you'd hear in most places today. But you see, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to give it to you right out of here. I'm going to give it to you right out of the book. Now, if you have problems with the book, I can't help that. Understand? If you have problems with the book, that's your problem. And you and God need to get that settled. Let me say that now. If you have problems with what I say, don't jump on me. I'm going to say it from the book. I guarantee you, I will say it exactly the way the book says it. And a lot of people don't like that today. As a matter of fact, modern women of today despise and disobey the instruction of Scripture concerning the role of the mother and the wife. Submission to her husband and her role of silence in the church gives the modern woman conniption fits. Did you ever see a woman have a conniption fit? It's not pretty. But when you preach them what the Bible says about the way things are supposed to be, boy, today, they would shoot me if they could. Some have threatened that a time or two. But anyhow, they would have conniption fits, spasms, tantrums, maybe even fainting spells. To them, it is impossible to believe that the Bible is serious when it assigns such regressive roles to women. Now, that's the way modern woman thinks about it. But I'm not preaching to modern women today. I'm preaching to women who want to obey the Bible, who want to obey the Scriptures. And if you don't fall in that category, then you're not going to like what I say. I can tell you that in advance. You will not like what I say. Now, I want to look at some Scriptures, and we're going to begin. Let me say this. This is my... what is it when you put something in the front of a book and you say, I'm not held responsible for the contents of this? Now, that's what I want to say. This is the Bible. This is what God says. I'm not held responsible for the contents. God is. So I just want you to know, please, ladies, let the Scriptures speak to you. Please discard any views you may hold personally that are not in line with God's Word. You are wrong. He is right. Just remember, when there's a conflict between you and God, you are wrong. He is right. If you can just take that and then start from there learning in what way you are wrong, boy, you'll grow tremendously. I'm not just talking to women in that regard. That's true of all of us. But it's specifically this morning I'm speaking to women because it's Mother's Day. I'll get you men next month if you're man enough to come back. Okay. You nor your children can possibly prosper spiritually living contrary to the Scriptures. You cannot prosper spiritually living contrary to the Scriptures. Submit to God's Word. That is the only way to submit to God. Now turn with us this morning and to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to paint this picture that the New Testament paints of the mother, the godly mother, and then we're going to draw some conclusions at the close of that. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and begin with me at verse 32. Now you're going to have to hang on, you have to listen, because I can't stay too long on any point unless you want to eat your dinner at supper time. All right. Verse 32, 1 Corinthians 14, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Or this word shame is disgraceful. It is disgraceful for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? Paul is... He realizes what a statement he's made. And he is saying what he is answering the criticism that most are going to do. They say, what is that? The Bible? does the word really teach that? He's answering that for him to start with. So, or came it unto you? Are you the only one that's got the truth? Who do you think you are? The only fellow with the truth. Well, no, that's not. As long as you got the Bible, you've got the truth. Now, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Well, that's pretty straight in. Paul knew there's going to be some opposition to that. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now let's turn over again to 1 Timothy. We're going to look at four different passages here to paint this picture before we draw some conclusions from it. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 2. All right, and we're going to start with verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness. That word shamefacedness is an interesting word. It means it's a pressure on the word modesty. It means very modest. In other words, if you've got any question about whether this is modest or not, it's like the lady said to her husband. He said, "Honey, is this shirt dirty?" And she said, "If you doubt, it's dirty." That's, you know, if you doubt whether it's clean, it's not clean, okay? And that's what he's saying here. If you doubt whether a dress you're going to wear is modest, throw it away. We need very modest. This is the point. With and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection or submissiveness. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity, or love, that is, and holiness with sobriety or with discretion. Now, here again we have the same, one of the same things emphasized, and that is the silence of the woman. Let's say this, that this doesn't mean that the woman's supposed to shut up when she walks in the door, put a tape across her mouth, and she can't speak or say anything. It means, like this says, she is not to teach men. She's not to be a pastor. The Bible is very clear about it. Women are not to be ordained and be pastors. Now, they can serve in the church in service capacities. They're called deaconesses in the scriptures, and they don't serve in any teaching capacity at all. Now, they could teach little children. Young children, they certainly can be Sunday school teachers and things of that nature. But they're not to be behind the pulpit as a preacher. Now, you husbands, they may preach to you some along the way, and you're smart if you listen to them, because you learn a lot and keep you out of a lot of trouble listening to them, because they got a lot of smarts, I want to tell you. But God still looks to you as the Father, so we need to understand that. So the woman, as far as spiritual matters are concerned, is to be in subjection. God deals to the man and with the man. Now, again, those questions that come, well, yes, but that's not my situation. Well, I can't, you know, you have to deal with your situation on the basis of what the Word of God teaches, and fulfill as best you can, seeking the Lord and the Lord's will concerning those things. But this is the way. God lays out the pattern of the way to build a home and to have it the way it should be. All right, let's come now to third one, and this is a very important passage in Titus. Titus chapter 2. And this one has to do with both the older women as well as the younger women. And this is in Titus chapter 2. And I'm beginning to read with verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, In other words, not gossipers and talkers and ramblers accusing people of things and so forth. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, look at verse 4. That they may teach. Now, this word teach here is the same word we would translate train. Teach or train. That they may teach or they may train the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, that means sensible, to be sensible, chaste, pure, keepers at home. Doesn't mean they have to stay home, they can't have a job, things of that nature. It means that their home is their responsibility. That's their bailiwick, is the home and the keeping up of the home. Okay, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed or dishonored. Now, so we find here at Titus laying down some principles and things for the ladies concerning the responsibilities. Now, one more, and then we'll come back over these to look at some specifics involved in it. And this is in 1 Peter. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. Now let's read here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Notice it always says your own husbands, not somebody else's, obviously. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. This is one of the great promises of Scripture for women who have unsaved husbands. If your husband doesn't know Christ as his Savior, you can win him without the word by your living the word before him, by your behavior, by your manner of life, by your and he's going to tell you about those things, and these are the qualities we're talking about. You don't win your husband by nagging. You don't win your husband by staying on his case all the time. And why don't you go to church? Why don't you come with us to church? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? No. It's by a sweet, gentle manner of life, and where you show your love and devotion, and you serve the Lord faithfully in the home, and you keep your floors clean, you keep the dishes washed, you keep the house clean. You do everything nice, and so that you fix him good meals, so that he said, boy, this woman, her love for the Lord changes her. I believe it's worth having. That's the only kind of woman that will win her husband to the Lord, is somebody who is that kind of a person. That doesn't mean you're always going to do it, but I mean, that's what the Scripture says as the means and way to do it. Now let's read on here. Now, so you win them without the word by the behavior or the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Then likewise ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, so we see in these scriptures, and if you want, when you have time this afternoon, tomorrow sometime, take them and go back over them again and study and see what they have to say. But now I want to mention five things quickly that are important for the mother, the the battlements that she has a responsibility for building in the home. Now, what is a battlement? It's to keep the young person from going astray. It's to keep the young person from becoming a rebel. Somebody says, well, they go through teenage, they got to be a rebel. No, they don't. No, they don't. They do not. You say, well, we're going to have, you know, they're young folks and we're going to have a generation gap. No, you don't have to have a generation gap. That's all baloney. That's all stuff that the devil puts out and things like that. You don't have to do that. You can have perfect harmony and peace in your home all the way from childhood to adulthood when they leave your home. You can have it if you do it according to the Word of God. If you don't, you're going to have all kinds of problems. But now let's mention these things. First of all is obedience. The scripture in about at least three of these four passages mentions this, obedience. She certainly will not be able to teach children obedience when she refuses to be under submission to her husband. A second thing that is listed in 1 Corinthians, these two especially listed in 1 Corinthians, she has responsibility for teaching things to be done decently and in order. It's interesting that this verse is in this passage of Scripture. Decently and in order. That's the way your home ought to be run. No big messes of dirty clothes piled up that you got to wade through and get through to get to the bathroom or get out of the bathroom or get to the bedroom. And, you know, decently. That means in a becoming manner, properly. And then order, decently and in order. That is with a settled mode of operation, with structure. In other words, you teach your mother, teach your children what to do with your clothes, what to do with your, you know, hanging up all your clothes, or where to put them when they're dirty, and what to do with them when they're clean, or are you going to wear them again? You know, hang them up and do all decently and in order. That's mama's responsibility. Order is so important in our lives, people. Order is so important. A regular, something like, that's a rut. No, a good rut's a good thing. You know, a good rut's a good thing. But, of course, getting in ruts and doing things wrong and continuing to do them wrong is certainly not a good thing. But doing things right, setting up a pattern, setting up the way things should be done, establishing what your husband has said in the home. He likes a clean home. He should. He likes things kept nice. Well, now, if she's working outside the home, then she's going to have some help. And they got children old enough to help, well, they ought to help. Or he can help her, or he can get some other help, come in, help her. But it's a responsibility, you see, the decency. And in order, the keeping of the home is a primary responsibility of the mother. Now, then there's third, there is listed proper dress, modesty. Now, especially this is true for the young ladies. In 1 Timothy, we saw that. In other words, teach your girls to be modest. It's so important. You know, blushing is out of fashion today. I don't know how young folks could blush, most of them, the different things they see on TV, the dirt, the trash, the sin, the wickedness, the corruption. They see in the magazines, they see it in the literature, they see it everywhere in the world. How can they blush when they hear something that is off color? It doesn't bother them a bit. They know more about off color and filth and dirt and wickedness than you do. And you're foolish if you think that's not the case. Because they search for it, they hunt for it, they dig for it, they cry for it. And they get it. And that's the way. So now, this includes modesty, makeup, or lack thereof, hairstyles that are acceptable. I'll tell you some of these crazy hairstyles, you know. You got to look like the world. Got to make it look like some movie star, some celebrity, or somebody this way. This is not the way Christians ought to be. This is not the way Christians ought to be. And jewelry that's improper. Now, you know, not showy, but complimentary in appearance. There's nothing wrong with having some nice accomplishments to the clothing and things of that nature, but modesty always, always with modesty, always keeping that in mind. Now, I want to emphasize this, and we'll have to move quickly along. Notice that it says in Titus that the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. That's a strange verse. And yet, you know, one of the problems today is that we have people without natural affection. How many times a day do you hear of some mother who killed her children? Dogs don't do that. Maybe sometimes in rage or something, in some kind of sex, maybe to eliminate something, but mothers, fathers kill their children. Most times it's because they can't make them shut up, or they can't get them quiet, and they get in a rage, and they mistreat them, and they abuse them. You know, that's all a part of our society today that shows this lacking of natural affection. There is what the Bible calls natural affection. A mother cat naturally cares for kittens. A mother bear naturally cares for a little baby bear, and so on. And a mother human, if she is at all normal, she will care for her child, her children. Now, not talking about overprotection, smothering, but we're talking about caring for them. So there are two kinds of love in the Bible, and this, understand, if you miss everything else, get this. There are two kinds of love in the Bible. One is what is agape love, and this is the love of God, the love that God has for us. And God sends that love through authority. It always goes through authority. So it goes to the husband, not to the wife directly. And so the husband then brings love, agape love, into the family. That's a selfless kind of love. That's a kind of love that would die. If you wouldn't die for your wife, you're no good as a husband. You see, that's agape love, the kind of love that God has for us. Now, there's another kind of love, and it's called phileo. And it means love, but it doesn't mean, it's not what God has for us. God does not have phileo love for us. His agape love is the love he has for us. Phileo love is love of that is tenderness and compassion. In other words, it's the kind of love that mother brings into the situation. Here you've got a family here. Here you've got a father. Through God, he brings agape love into this relationship, into this home. Over here you've got another kind of love, tenderness, the kind of love that mothers have toward their children and their husband, and mothers bring that in. So you've got father bringing in agape love, you've got mother bringing in phileo, and so you've got both of the loves that wrap up the family, you see, for God. Now, this is the way it's supposed to function, folks. This is the way it's supposed to function. This phileo love for man, not God. This is the love that we express toward man. It is tender affections, kindness, natural affection. And it's certainly missing in these days, this natural affection. And then the last thing I want to quickly mention is chaste behavior. Chaste, that means pure behavior, purity. Mothers have to be pure. They have to fear the Lord. They have to bring meekness and quietness into the relationship, into the home. They dress to please their husband, not the public. The hidden man of the heart, the scripture says. Women, mothers, do you have a hidden man of the heart? Is there someone that you love to please, that you love? See, this is what you're supposed to be to your husband, that kind of a person that shows that love and devotion not only, of course, to the husband, but also the family, but it begins with the husband. You see, husband and wife make a family. You rear children, they're supposed to leave. If you've got children still hanging around home that are adults, kick them out. Kick them out. If you can't, you know, if they won't leave, call the police. Get them out. Husband and wives, after the children are gone, are supposed to love each other more than ever before and enjoy each other more than ever before. And if you still hanging around, I told a story, a fellow I was in college with told me one time quite a few years ago, he still had a 26-year-old son living at home, a drunk, and beat his mother. And I said to this fellow, I said, what in the world are you doing letting him stay at home? Get him out of the house. Oh, Mom won't let him. She loves him. She won't let him go. I get her about ready to get her rid of her, too. If she, you know, whenever that kind of situation, let her live with him. You build you a house next door. Folks, we have to follow the scriptures if we're going to be successful. We've got to follow the word of God. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, help us to believe it, to read it, to study it, and to believe it and to follow it, to practice it. Not just to say we believe it, but to do it in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.